Gold, Bitcoin, the Fed, and Asset Strategies International. Rich checking on this episode of Unlock Your Wealth TV, your life fully invested. Welcome to Unlock Your Wealth Today, your life fully invested. I'm your purveyor of prosperity and host, Heather Wagenhals. And on this episode, I'm making success simple with none other than Asset Strategies International Rich Check-In. Now, Rich is my go-to gold expert and past show guest. And this year, him and I had a chance to catch up at the Freedom Fest. We were talking all things markets, the Fed, inflation, and what should be doing this second half of the year to kind of combat what happened. And some of us got hit pretty hard. I know I was one of them as I was doing my investing thing. And then all of a sudden, what? We get capped off at the knees. And so how do we work gold into our overall asset strategies when it comes to building wealth and hedging against inflation? And Rich is going to bring some really great conversation to today's episode as we explore all of that. So let's get started. Rich, welcome back to Unlock Your Wealth TV. It's so good to have you on again.
Wonderful to be here, Heather. Thanks for having me.
We had a fantastic summer so far at Freedom Fest, irrespective of what the markets have been doing. And I just like to continue on some of that momentum because gold is something that we don't talk a lot about here on this show, but it's something that keeps factoring in. And we can't avoid thinking about what do we do with the Fed and inflation. So can you shed some light on where we are with just the state of things economically?
Yeah, I'd love to. And just don't ask me to explain why the bumbling Fed does what it does, right? I can tell you what they're doing.
That because yes, in my 52 years, I don't know why they do what they do.
I'll tell you, the problem goes back, I think, about a year and a half ago, in the midst of the COVID crisis. Basically, the Fed did a bunch of things, and the U.S. government as well, that triggered the inflationary pressures that we're seeing now. You know, the consumer price index is at 9.1% last month or 2 months ago. The producer price index, so this is the raw goods, their costs are up about 11+% And all that started in the roots of COVID, where basically I think they handled it wrong. They kept money too easy and too free for too long. And then they printed boatloads of it, put it in directly in the hands of individuals and small businesses at the same time as they shut down economies and basically created, in my opinion, all the supply chain disruptions we're seeing now. So as a result, we have high inflation and the Fed's got to take action. But there's a problem to that, Heather, is they can't do it. They can't do too much too often. They can't go too high with the interest rates to get up and tackle inflation because we have a massive $30 trillion debt we got to service.
We have the debt to service. And, you know, I'm still talking with people, some of my friends in oil and gas, and they're saying that, you know, we still have supply chain issues, even though we have all of this back to normal stuff going on. The mask mandates are off and people are working like crazy. We're traveling more than ever. But when we let go of all of those people or stopped paying them, some of them decided, you know, they made a life reset and they said, I don't think I want to do this anymore. We've seen a lot of that in hospitality.
Great resignation. Yeah.
Yes. And so people have decided that they want to work differently and live differently, but they still want to consume at the same pace.
It's hard to do that. So it's a very complicated world. And when you just flat out shut down economies, let's think about it. A vessel comes in with goods and services to port. It drops things off. It picks things up, moves to the next port. I mean, that alone is just complicated. And magnify that over all the world and all the different ways that things move. And you stop it all completely. It has to take time to get back and moving again. It's a machine that doesn't, you know, it's not like your McLaren that, you know, 0 to 60 and how fast. It takes time for that machine to start working again.
Right. And it's kind of like, you know, the flywheel thing. It's so big that it's going to take a bit to create that momentum that it can start humming along. And then you've got the break, or at least that's what I'm looking at the Fed as, the brakes to that flywheel. So we got the brakes on, but we're saying push, push, push.
Yeah. So here's the thing. We're already seeing the economy slow down. Obviously, the stock market doesn't like the fact that interest rates are going up, because that's competition for money in their markets. And the Fed's only increased interest rates, what, 1.5%, I think, to 75 basis point rate cuts and a 20 or rate increase and a 25%. So we're up around 2.25, 2.5. Right now, inflation's running at 9.1. We need 750 more basis points of rate cuts to get on top of inflation. Here's the problem. And this is why I think we're going to see a Fed pivot. We have no choice. Every time we increase the interest rate by 1%, how much does that cost us in debt servicing every day? How about?
Oh, I can't even imagine what that number would be.
$27 million per day. For every 1% increase in rate hikes. It's just, the Fed can't do that. We can't service the debt.
So what does that do to our day-to-day money? Because right now I'm living in my microcosm and, you know, the federal government and how they spend money. Like, yeah, I want to be concerned with that. But as an individual investor, I've got maybe pending retirement. Maybe I'm thinking about a career change. I'm expanding my family. I got to put kids through school. I got aging parents that maybe don't have enough saved for their needs to retire, and they're wanting to do that. Where does that leave me as the individual investor trying to make it through this lifetime?
So here's some suggestions. I can't give you advice. You know, I'm not an investment advisor, et cetera. But, you know, the bottom line is, I don't think this is the time to make a lot of changes. You want as much certainty in your life right now as you can, because the economy is as volatile and as uncertain as it's been, I think, in my lifetime right now. So you want to keep things as stable as you can. It's tough, though, because right now in the real world, you know, with food and energy going up, we're seeing the high cost of living translated through from inflation, right, for those products and services. So it's costing more just to live our life like we always did. And you're having to make decisions. I will do without this, or I will do without that day to day. In the meantime, assets are devaluing, right? So the Fed's pulling away liquidity, the stock market's pulling back, Bitcoin's pulling back, gold is pulling back, everything, we're starting to see it in real estate, everything that's an asset is pulling down in price. So you're less wealthy, right? It's the inverse of a wealth effect, and you can't buy as much as you used to with the money you have. It's like the worst case.
Well, so you mentioned two things that I want to touch on and why I have you on here, because you are my go-to gold expert personally. And anytime anyone asks me, well, you know, what do I do with gold? Or, hey, I was thinking about buying gold, or somebody said that I need to do this, this, and this with gold. And I'm like, yeah, that sounds kind of fishy. Why don't you call my friend Rich, and he'll tell you like it is, whether or not you do business with him. And so this is the thing you just mentioned, that we need to be careful about what we do and stay stable. So now that we always hear about Bitcoin, and we're hearing how Bitcoin is supposed to be this alternative hedge, talk about Bitcoin and gold, because we know reliably over millennia how gold has held its value.
Yes.
But talk about this Bitcoin thing, because we've seen that crash.
Yeah, so, and it's not the first time. We've seen it crash about 15, 16 times in its 13 years of existence. So they're not the same thing. I think Bitcoin will be something other than what it is in the future. I have some. I think it's a fantastic speculation right now, because that's how people are using it. That's why you see, you know, strong moves up and equally strong moves down. People are going in for greed and they're getting out when they're scared. And that's a speculative asset. That is not a store of value. It is not a hedge. So I take 1-2% tops. That's what I do for speculation. Money out of my portfolio that I can stand to lose and not blink an eye. And I put it into Bitcoin. And if it goes up, I go ahead, sorry, I just hit the camera. If it goes up, I take some profits and I put it in something that stores value and has stored value for 5,000 years, and that's gold. And that's how I use it. Gold is a hedge. It is a store of value. And right now, even though people don't think it, gold's doing a great job, and it actually has done for the millennium.
Okay, so let's talk about that and how it's moved in relation to the market.
Yeah. So two things I think are pushing gold prices down right now. Okay. The first thing is a very, very strong dollar. So if we have the strongest dollar we've had in about 20 years now, it went up in the past 5-6 months from about 95 on the US dollar index compared to other currencies. It went up to 109 almost at one point. It's sitting right now about 106, 107. So the bottom line is that's a very strong move for the dollar. I personally don't think it's based on any dollar strength. I think it's based on the fact that the dollar is stronger than the other weak currencies that we're comparing it to. Because if you take gold in dollar terms right now, it's down about 3% on the year. If you take gold in virtually any other major currencies, we're seeing all-time highs, right? So the dollar is being is strong now comparatively to other currencies, but gold is only down about 3% at the same time that the Dow is down about 10%. The S&P 500 is down about 13%. The NASDAQ is down about 20%. And so far this year, your Bitcoin, that hedge, is down 50% so far this year, further from the highs in November. So even though gold is not surging up in price, it's doing its job by deflating much slower than all the other asset classes right now.
Okay, so this, you know, as we look at what's going on, and, you know, our mutual friend and Way of the Renaissance man, Jim Woods, said the last time he did his quarterly update that historically when we've seen these bear markets up front, that the second half of the year has a double-digit gain. So how do I use gold as a tool to kind of stop the hemorrhaging and still be able to capitalize on moving forward with the back end of this year?
Yeah. So I look at gold in two different ways. I look at it as insurance for my portfolio. That's for me, and everybody's different, but for me, that's a 10% allocation toward gold for insurance. I buy it, I hold on to it, and I never ever sell it unless I have some sort of financial crisis that I need to meet. And if I have that crisis, I sell it immediately, meet the need, and then go ahead and replenish it as soon as I can for the future. Now, I mentioned there were two things going against gold. One was the dollar. The second is that right there. As the stock market falls, right, we're seeing people in leveraged positions where the asset value falls below the loan value because they had $100,000 invested and they want to double it. So they borrow another $100,000. And then all of a sudden the stock market falls. They have a margin call. They have to come up with cash immediately. And a lot of them go where they can get cash immediately, a store of value in a liquid form, that's gold. So when the stock market falls, you see gold come down too until it stops falling. That's the second thing acting on gold right now to harm the prices. So again, wealth insurance, buy it for a crisis, never sell it. Right now, I think gold is dirt cheap. So I'm also buying for profit because I expect it to go up in value in the future. And right now, silver as well. So I take another 10 to 15% of investable assets in a market like this, and I put it into gold, but I treat that differently. Okay. When that doubles in value, I sell half. I rebalance that all the time and I maintain my allocations and I put the money into other things that could use it when I pull some profits off the table.
Okay, well, that's an interesting strategy. And, you know, I've always thought of it as a store of value. Now, when you have, you work with clients all of the time with the precious metals, are you one that says, hey, take the physical gold asset, or do you just want to be invested in gold?
There's different ways of owning it. I don't think to fill a gold allocation, I don't think there's any better way than to own gold. So whether you take delivery of it yourself or you store it somewhere else, domestically or abroad, always, I think, if you're buying gold, buy physical gold. I don't go with an ETF. I know they're easy to jump in and out of, but you got to understand with like an ETF, you're owning shares in a company whose job it is to mimic the price of gold. You're not owning any gold. You can't cash it out for gold. You can't walk out the door with your gold. You're owning shares in a company. So if there's a crisis, you're in the paper markets along with everybody else. If you want gold, buy gold. I tell people, you know, if you want a Mercedes, don't buy a Yugo and pretend, you know, you buy gold, right? If
that's
you want
an gold. Excellent analogy.
So,
okay. So I want to touch on real quick. You made an amazing introduction for me this summer, and I had the most provocative conversation with a gentleman, Adrian Day, and you two are doing a webinar coming up. Can you tell everybody about it? Because I know I'm going to be tuning in, but I want others to be able to learn from what I feel are some of the best people in the industry. So tell us what you and Adrian have coming up.
Yeah, so this is our third quarter. We do one every quarter, third quarter on the move webinar. And Adrian is my co-host. Adrian is the principal and founder of Adrian Day Asset Management. He specializes in both resource or gold stocks, if you will, and offshore equities. So Adrian's been a friend since the 80s of asset strategies, a really good friend, one of the most knowledgeable people I know about macro and our sector. So he's going to be our guest or our co-host. Our guest is going to be Tom Dyson. Very interesting guy. He's one of the founding members of Bonner Private Research, along with Bill Bonner and Dan Denning. And Tom Dyson is their investment director. And he's got an interesting theory about Dow gold ratios and so forth, and how he moves money around. And we're going to talk about that, the Fed, inflation, and other topics as well. So it's going to be a very interesting show. I'm there. I'm going to be a little midget compared to these mental giants, but no, we're going to have a lot of fun. Really good friends, and they have a lot to offer.
Excellent. So when is the webinar?
Yeah, it's going to be Thursday, August 25th, 7 p.m. Eastern time.
Okay, 7 p.m. Eastern. And if folks want to register for this, how do they go about doing that?
Heather, I'll go ahead and I'll get you a unique link so that they can, when you go out with this, they can just click on it and register.
Oh, that's amazing. So we will have that link for folks. So you'll see it right here.
Perfect.
And then it'll also be in the actual posts everywhere on social media and the website. Now, if folks want to have a conversation about gold, maybe they've dabbled in it before, or they're just new to this concept, and maybe this is their first or second bear market they've ever experienced, and now they're saying, okay, maybe I need to stop flying by the seat of my pants and really consider how I use this as an allocation for my overall wealth management strategy. Where do folks find you?
They can reach us on our website, assetstrategies.com, or simple enough, just call us toll free, 800-831-0007. That's 10 better than James Bond, I got to tell you.
I love when you say that. That's my favorite thing. Well, Rich, thank you so much for being a part of today's show. And for those of you without a pencil, never fear, unlockyourwealthtoday.com is here, where you can visit Rich's show page, get the links to all of his great resources, and so much more. I'm Heather Wagenhals, and I'm making success simple for you. Now, go out and unlock your wealth today.
UnlockYourWealthToday.com is produced by Heather Wagenhals and the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation. Unlock Your Wealth Today and affiliated brands are copyrighted 2022 by Heather Wagenhals, all rights reserved. For more information about the Keys to Riches financial philosophy or this week's free strategy, please visit UnlockYourWealthToday.com.